2011. It is 5:06 p.m. And Secretary, please call roll.
Here.
Here.
Here. Okay, reminding everybody to turn off cell phones. And purpose of the meeting today, we're going to hear HB 145 K-12 scholarship and HJR 16 constitutional amendment, both in second hearing. We do need to mention the Alaska Constitution needs to be amended to allow the K-12 program established in HB 145. Therefore, HJR 16 and HB 145 will be considered together. Committee substitute version D was adopted during the previous hearing. Representative Keller, would you mind to come forward and recap for us? And for the record, Representative Wilson's with us.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Wes Keller, representative of District 14. And just a clarification, I have version I in front of me.
We have I here.
I.
You have I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. I know you all know what the bill's about. I won't go into great detail. Just interesting, I make one quick comment. The Friedman Foundation, Foundation for Educational Choice, just released a paper on 29 studies, and virtually every one of them, with exception of one district, showed a huge benefit both to the student and to the schools that applied the school choice. The HB 145 simply provides public funding for the cost of attending grades K-12 at a public or private school selected by the student's parent or legal guardian. So it's just a matter of choice, and it's new because to date we do not pay a private institution as per the Constitution. That's why you have HJR 16 in front of you. The Constitution clearly says that a check will not be written to a private education institution, and so that change is in front of you. So, with that, is there any questions, or do you want to go to testimony?
Representative Kelly, I do have one question. I know I've heard positive stories from other places. One of the concerns in all of our minds is if the private schools are birth and students do go to private schools, is there any record as to what happens to the students that are still in public schools? And what we can envision in our mind is many of the special ed students and many of the students that might be discipline problems would not be admitted into private schools. So how does that impact the public school? That's a question I've heard often.
Through the, to the chair, if the private school doesn't have the services and the facilities to serve a special ed student, then I would assume that the parents would select a school that would have the services. So in the way the program is set up, any school can be a participating school, both public and private. So it's the whole idea is the whole spectrum is out there for the parents' choice.
So. Okay. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What about if we're going to, if these schools want to get more students brought into their the private schools, and they're going to be taking kids from our regular schools, and they're going to take state funding, don't you think then that they should give the services that a regular school gives?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, again, this is premised on parental choice. So just like we don't require all of our public schools to offer all complete 100% services in every school, you know, there may be specialized in and what have you. So, no, I guess I do not, to answer your question. I think it's a matter of parental choice and choosing the best services for the children. And I believe that the parents are best positioned to do that, and that's why the bill's for you.
So they're taking kids out of a regular school that we mandate that they provide all kinds of services, but the school that we're going to take state money to and start using state money, they don't have to do those things.
The way the Representative Wilson, the way the bill's set up, the money that would go to the school district is for a similarly situated student. So it would take into account the money would go into the district the same either way. Yeah, the money goes to the private school or the participating school, I'm sorry, which may be private or may be public, based on what the student, a similarly situated student, would bring in. So it the money that goes to a district based on the students wouldn't be, it isn't a matter of the money going to the private institution and they don't offer services at all. If the money goes into the school district, and if that student is, for example, special ed and finds a private school that has the special ed services, then yes, the money would follow the student to the private school. If they're it's back to the choice.
Representative Kawasaki.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've gotten a lot of testimony on this bill, as you can imagine, especially from folks up in my neighborhood. I had a question, though, because we've heard a lot from folks who particularly are in the sort of the Christian denominational, want to bring it back to, you know, I know that Alaska Families Council has published some information out there. This bill doesn't address this possibility, but what would happen if there was a school that sprung up that wanted to teach K through 6 based on something like Sharia law or teaching economic theory based on a communist model? Do you really think that that's a good public expense? Or that's probably not the kind of school you imagine, but under this bill it seems like that's a possibility.
Through the chair, Representative Kawasaki, if there was enough parents to send them to a school as you described, I think it is completely appropriate. This is the United States of America, and parents have the right to choose how they educate their children, and in general, that's true. And what's happened in the United States and the state of Alaska is that is now restricted by zip code and by your residents, I mean, what's paid for anyway, and this would remove that. And so that if you had a community that wanted to do something similar to what you suggested and they had their own school, this bill would allow that.
Okay.
Very good. We do it. Go ahead. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What about the rural areas? They don't have these options, so we're really doing it for students in the rail belt, but not students in other areas of the state? Is that what we're doing?
Representative Wilson, through the chair, it is not at all, I don't believe, favor any urban over rural or rural over urban. And we have the coalition that is backing this. There are Alaskan Native supporters, and there's opportunities actually there in these smaller rural areas. You know, if there's one to be a private school and enough parents wanted to use that school and it emphasized immersion into native language or something as a process and part of it, that would be completely legitimate so long as they did the basic requirements for all schools that you probably have read in the law there. It refers to it in the bill. Where they give nationally standardized tests, they keep records on the students and so forth.
Okay, thank you. With no other questions, I would like to move on to public testimony. We do have quite a few here, and I will not leave out the people in the room this time, I promise. But we could go to Kodiak, LIO. Ronald Painter, are you there, sir? And if so, please identify yourself and give your testimony.
Good evening. My name is Ron Painter, and I'm a 43-year resident of Alaska. I enthusiastically and without reservation ask you to support House Bill 145. This is without a doubt the best thing we could do to improve education for our children in the shortest time. Nationwide, we spend more money now than any country except one, and we rank among the lowest of all industrialized nations for education. More money for public education is not the answer. House Bill 145 will go a long ways to solve those problems. Please support this, and thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from committee? And for the record, Representative Pruitt has joined us here. Maria Painter, you're in Kodiak, and please identify yourself and who you represent and give your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Maria Painter. I'm a 20-year resident of Kodiak. All four of my children have attended parochial school at St. Mary's School here. And I am in support of House Bill 145. Kindergarten through 12 parental choice of schools, local and state government money would follow the student, and no government restrictions beyond health and safety. I urge you to move forward with this bill, and I thank you for your time and your service.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Let's see, Matt Sue, LIO, Jessica Dean. Are you there, Jessica? If so, identify yourself and give your testimony.
I am. My name is Jessica Dean. I'm a resident of Wasilla. I have two children currently enrolled in a private school. They're also duly enrolled through Matthew Central School, which is a district correspondent school. While I would not change my decision to put my children in public school financially, either way, my family can afford it. We only pay $3,500 per kid to send our children there. But I think that the availability to other students is something that is important. I've seen the results that the school has done for me. We have a capped classroom at 16 kids per class. The classes stay pretty full there. There's a waiting list. I don't think that for our school that it would increase enrollment any because they're already full. So I know that isn't a motivation, you know, for our school. But I do see a lot of great private schools out there that can do a lot for students of various needs. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous that we wouldn't consider a bill that could help that just because, well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons I suppose behind it, but if it's a worry that it may create chaos in the system, I don't understand why we still wouldn't at least consider it when if there's a natural disaster, we're not going to not go help people just because that might be chaotic at first. And currently, the way our school system seems to be, I wouldn't necessarily call it a disaster, but it very well might head down that road if things aren't looked at. And this is certainly a decent solution. It doesn't cost a lot of money. And rather than throwing a lot more money at a system that doesn't seem to improve with extra money, we have many schools that work on a much lower budget that get phenomenal results. And it doesn't take the extra money. So I just hope that this will at least leave committee and be considered on the floor. And I'm in full support of HB 145 and the constitutional amendment that would have to accompany.
Okay. Thank you, Jessica. Really quickly, do you homeschool or are your kids in private school now?
They're in private school and duly enrolled through Matthew Central School.
Okay.
So we do extra classes on the side. I have one son who's fairly excelled. And then my daughter actually needed some extra help with reading this year, although she's actually above grade level now through 1 year worth of work. So.
Okay. Thank you, Jessica. Let's see. Off net, we have Michelle Nyland. Michelle, are you there? If so, please identify yourself. And just for our information, do you currently homeschool or send your kid to private school? Michelle?
My name is Michelle Nyland, and I'm from a resident of Wasilla here. And my daughter actually goes to a charter school, so it's a publicly funded school. And I'm here to give testimony that opposes the passing of this bill, and for a couple of reasons. First, I feel like right now having a homeschool option where a parent can elect to draw funds from the school's education kitty and use those funds in order to provide a different type of education if they're unsatisfied with the public education that's being provided for them is certainly an available and viable alternative to passing this bill. It already exists right now, and I see no reason why parents who are interested in promoting a particular curriculum couldn't get together, work together, in a sort of a homeschool setting, hire a teacher, with that funds. It just seems to me that that there is an available alternative for people looking for something different right now where they can draw funds from the public education pool. Another reason I'm kind of concerned with it is that I really think we have to look at the very real possibility that the public sector is invariably going to be left with the higher need children, with now a greater limit on the resources that are available for them. Okay. I listened to testimony about classrooms that have 16 kids, and the thing is that with the amount per dollar that's given in an allotment per child, it's just simply not feasible to have that go on with that dollar amount. So I don't think that dollar amount is going to, gaining that is going to be what makes that school happen, and I think there's an alternative. The other thing that I'm kind of concerned with is the broad language that's involved in this bill and some things that I think that are some very realistic concerns that could come from that, particularly lines 21 through 25 that talk about, if the school is outside an attendance area, then the school district can start contributing to the transportation costs to that. My daughter, because I live in Meadow Lakes and she goes to school over in Palmer, I drive her, and that's an hour and 5 minute drive for me to drop her off and go back home. So then what's going to happen once you guys pass this bill, and then everyone who's eligible, who has a child that goes to school, either in a private or a charter or public school, outside their attendance area, then it seems to me this could open the floodgates for everyone to start applying to then pull funds from the school district to support transportation. And let's say there's one student, like my daughter in Meadow Lakes that goes to school in Palmer, are you guys going to, put funds aside for one bus to take her there? And if, if so, it just seems like it's a huge burden on the school system that is then going to involve raising the mill rate. I'm already at 15%, and I'm really not looking forward to that. I am very involved in my daughter's school, and, I definitely think that the education system needs support. In order to do that, I'm there almost every single day, and I just as a parent volunteer, go into my daughter's classroom, and I work with some of the children that seem to be just a little bit behind, in keeping up with the curriculum. And I really think that, there are ways that we can, as a community, come together and support the needs of the school district while also giving greater care to the children, just by becoming more involved. And so, I think that this bill has a very real possibility of leading us down some bad roads. And I think that there are alternatives already available for people who are wanting to pull money out of the school district in order to fund a different type of education. So I would just urge you to please pass on this bill. Not pass the bill, just, not allow it through your committee. Go ahead and terminate the process right here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony, Michelle, and we understood what you meant. I speaking double negatives quite often myself. Barbara Haney, are you online? If so, please identify yourself. And just for information, if you homeschool or go to a private charter school. Barbara, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir. And actually, my youngest son, who is now 18, will be graduating from Lathrop High School. And he is a John Kelly Scholar and UA Scholar. I am asking that I'm encouraging you, and I am pleading with you to please, please pass HB 145. I am a mother of seven kids, many of which who did attend school. I homeschool part of them I sent to public school. I cannot tell you how strongly I feel about this particular piece of legislation, and along with the House Joint Resolution. I have some prepared remarks, but I also want to address a couple of other things that I've heard as a repeated theme. And one of them is leaving only special needs students in schools. If you're sitting in the Fairbanks LIO office right now, right behind you there is another building that was originally planned by a developer named Villamore. That was supposed to be a special needs school for students in Alaska, the Fairbanks area, that was intended for those who had dyslexic and needed additional help in that area. It never materialized because of lack of funding. I actually had to fly one of my children who I homeschooled out of the state of Alaska to get special attention and special assistance to help her overcome her dyslexia. I chose to homeschool my younger children because they had some special needs, and the school district was very clear with me that they could not accommodate them. And I think if I had had this option, that school behind your offices would have been put in place because the money would have been there, and those special needs students would have been accommodated. So to throw that canard out there, I think is actually wrong, because I think special needs students are the ones who would benefit the most. Secondly, I've heard a couple other speakers talk about how right now we have this homeschool option, and parents can go ahead and homeschool if they don't like the public school. Well, the reality is, as a mother of somebody who, I put a career online on hold to homeschool my kids. As a consequence, I have no pension now, okay? I don't have all the things that public school teachers have. Not to say that I would anyway. There is an enormous personal price a person pays in terms of their own ability to earn income if they homeschool over a prolonged period of time. And while I would never trade those years ever for a pension, the idea here is that not every family is in that situation where they can make those choices. Some people don't have the financial ability to take upon themselves putting that other job of the other parent. You know, would mean losing their house or their not being able to pay their mortgage if they chose to homeschool, because that means one parent has to stay at home. So by allowing people to choose a private school, they can still maintain their professional life and still get quality of education for their child. The other thing I heard addressed was something about transportation needs. And I know in Fairbanks right now, if you enroll your child in Monroe or in Fair Hill schools, your kid can take the bus, because the bus stops right in front of my house every morning. So right now that's already happening, and I don't think you would need Senate Bill 145 for that particular provision to pass. However, I do think that parents have to pay something extra for that, but it is an option that is out there currently, so I don't see where that would be a player in deciding to pass or not pass HB 145, since it's already happening anyway. The last thing I heard is that rural areas would not be affected, and I can't believe that rural areas wouldn't benefit in an enormous way. Many years ago, there used to be a school in Central run by a man, Circle, Alaska, run by a man named William Lola, and later that school moved to Fort Yukon. And if you go to Fort Yukon today, there's a road, William Lola Loop. It was named after him. You can search in the digital archives of UAS, and you can find pictures of William Lola teaching classes. He taught a private school up there, all Alaska Natives, I would imagine. It was a very good school. He had students that came out of that school. One of them was John Fredson, who later went to a school in Indiana. Another one was Walter Harper, who eventually would have gone to Harvard if Dystopia hadn't crashed or gone down in the water in Juneau. So, there were students that were coming out of that school with a tremendously good education by standards, World War I level standards. That ended later on in Alaska history for a whole lot of reasons. But those older Episcopal schools were very, very good. and actually outperformed many of the public school counterparts that were available. They had some other problems, but I think parental choice legislation would allow some of those schools to come back, and if parents chose them, they could choose them. As far as the actual purpose of the legislation goes, in my prepared comments, I cannot imagine how it would not be good for people to allow schools to compete. At the present time, current schools are really unresponsive. And in fact, if you as a parent go in and try to discuss the curriculum issues that you see that are an issue, they'll actually come down on your kid and make it harder for your kid to perform in the school. I mean, I know in the case with one of my students, one of my own children, he was actually belittled because I came in to comment on the curriculum. I was very upset that pre-calc was being taught with a calculator. I wanted him to take a pre-calc class where they actually taught how to solve the equation. And he was later belittled by the teacher for that, and I thought that was wrong. And if there had been any other option for me to take him to another school, I certainly would have.
Barbara, we have a little math problem here. We have about 29 minutes till we gavel out, okay. And we have quite a few people, so good testimony, but if you just wrap up, please.
Sure. The other thing, though, if you have competition, schools will utilize their dollars more effectively. It's just like with anything else. If you know you have to compete, you go out there and you become efficient and you start producing a product that is a quality product. And this is what this legislation will ultimately do. It will allow people to compete efficiently and effectively for resource in the marketplace of education. And it will make schools more responsive to what parents want.
Thank you, Barbara.
So please support HB 145.
We got it. Let's see, Anchorage, Cheryl Payton, are you there? And Cheryl, we're going to have to limit ourselves about 3 minutes here, if you don't mind. And also, I need to mention that Senator Dyson is here. He's hiding behind the crowd, but we do want to recognize the senator, and thank you for coming and listening. So, Cheryl Payton, are you there in Anchorage? And please, there you go, give your testimony.
I'm here, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. I want to ask you to please support the parental choice education. Parents know better than anyone how their children behave in school, what their gifts and abilities are, what their strengths and weaknesses are. Parents are the rightful authority to choose how and where their children will be educated. The choice should not be dictated by one's address, social position, or personal finances. It should be based on what is best for the child. Consider the situation that I am in. I have a daughter, Glenna, who is a first grader. She has Down syndrome. The expected outcome for these children is positive. Most are able to hold jobs as adults, and a few have even attended college. Early education and socialization determine the limit of that outcome. Just to put Glenna in a public school is a long process. A team called the IEP team evaluates her and determines class placement. By federal law, the team consists of a neighborhood school representative, the parents, and experts of the parents' choosing. But even if the parents wish to choose another school, the first stop is the neighborhood school team, and we are locked in with those individuals. This can be problematic if there are differences of opinions. Federal law demands that a child be placed in the least restrictive environment possible. This may range from a normal classroom with the help of an aide to a part-time regular classroom with a resource class for assistance in challenging academic areas. The most restrictive placement is an intensive need. A self-contained classroom where special needs children have limited contact with neurotypical children. The emphasis is on life skills, such as toileting, brushing teeth, fastening buttons and zippers, rather than on academics. The intent of the law is that the team reach consensus on placement. However, many special needs families find that consensus means bending to the will of the neighborhood school. They write the final document, and they have the final say regardless of parental input. This was our experience with our neighborhood school. They decided that Glenna would be in a self-contained classroom, contrary to the recommendation of her speech therapist, occupational therapist, physical therapist, and her kindergarten teacher. Needless to say, the ASD officials were acting contrary to the law, but for us to obtain satisfaction under the law, we would have had to sue the school district. The cost, time, and emotional toll involved in that battle was prohibitive to us. Fortunately, we're able to send Glenna to private school. She is in a regular classroom with an aide and doing well. She's learning to read, write, and do simple math. Most importantly, she is interacting with neurotypical peers in a positive environment. She has matured beautifully, and her social and verbal skills are progressing. Her classmates accept her and are very fond of her. However, it comes at a considerable cost to us and to ASD. The tuition is about $5,000, and the aid cost is about $10,000. This amount is substantial to us, but falls well below the allotment ASD would receive for enrolling Glenna. With up to $79,000 per student, depending on needs, ASD could have educated our daughter and added to their administrative funding. ASD has lost a customer. Studies show that the educational quality improves when parents have the fundamental right to choose where their children are educated. I believe the introduction of market forces improves all schools, and I believe it is especially helpful for special needs children and families. Please support the parental choice in education.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody online, if you want to fax your testimony to my office here, it'd be 465-2197. Any written testimony, we'd really like to take that. The clock is ticking. And John Toby, are you online? If so, identify yourself and please be concise. John Toby, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, John Toby, go ahead, give your testimony.
Yes,
be as concise as you can.
I certainly will. I thank you for the opportunity. John Toby, my wife and I have been citizens, residents of Alaska for about 20 years now. We have a daughter that we have sent to school here at the kindergarten level in public school for a couple of years. We have decided that her needs were best met in a private school. We ended up moving her to a private school. We had the opportunity to do that for a while. It's expensive, of course. And we've also actually tried homeschooling for a while we could. And now she is currently at a high school level, and she is at Holy Rosary here in the city of Anchorage. My wife and I, we live in Eagle River. I want to encourage the panel, please, to consider passing this bill. This is, from our perspective, a very important opportunity to allow parents whose interest and concern for their children is to give them the very best education. And let's face it, that's the bottom line. And we're doing just that. And many of the parents are trying to do that. Many are equipped and can do that financially. Unfortunately, many can't. And of course, therefore, do not have that choice. This legislation, if we can pass this, would be a wonderful opportunity to give that freedom of choice for their kids, for our individual children, get them the best education that we know is best suited to them. And I just want to say one other thing, that from my perspective, doing such a thing will allow our public school system actually improve and become, because of the competitiveness that would develop from such a situation, allow our public schools to actually improve. And so I see this as a kind of a win-win situation. I don't want to take too much more time because I know there are many others, but last thought. I recently saw the movie, and I'm sure many of you have. If you haven't, I will truly encourage you to view it, Waiting for Superman, because much of what will be accomplished with the film is comes into focus in that film, and I think it would help in the overall understanding of what we're trying to do here. Not trying to hurt anyone. We're trying to help both the public school system and parents who see the opportunity to provide for the very best education for their best for someone else, but it is for them. And that's the beauty of something like this. So thank you very much for hearing me out, and I encourage you to pass this particular bill.
Thank you. Excellent testimony. Your passion comes through the microphone. Andy Clary, are you in Anchorage? If so, please give your testimony. We're trying to get a few more minutes here, but we're going to try to gavel out at 6 o'clock. A lot of us got to go over the resources. So, Andy, if you're there, identify yourself and please be concise.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. I would like to speak in favor of the committee substitute for House Bill 145 and House Joint Resolution 16. I myself am a product of private education here in Alaska. I went K through 12 at Anchorage Christian Schools here in Anchorage and was privileged to have that opportunity, but many families in Alaska are not and would like to have that opportunity. And this legislation would provide everyone the same opportunity for having that choice in education. We in support of this bill understand it's a major shift in education policy. We're not trying to hide anything about that, and that's why there is the constitutional amendment that goes with this. And although this challenge is difficult, we don't think it's insurmountable. And I was actually encouraged today by the U.S. Supreme Court decision that came down, this ruling that says that upheld the Arizona's school choice program, which is very encouraging to see that, and it's happened across the nation several times already. There's more than 20 or 25 different school choice programs around the country, and now we believe it's Alaska's turn to have school choice here. Some of the comments from the last hearing were centered around assessment and testing. I'd like to address those a little bit. The private school I attended, again, K through 12, it continues today to administer testing to their students every single year. Through grades 4, 6, 7, and 8, they do the Stanford Achievement Test. For 9 through 11, they use the PSAT. So assessment is definitely being done. I know that was brought up as a concern last time, and it's already there. The accountability that you're looking for, I believe, is already there in the private schools. And then finally, contrary to the claim that school choice will hurt the neighborhood schools, there's been a ton of empirical evidence that consistently shows that school choice programs actually improve outcomes for both participants and public schools. And it's really the competition from school choice that introduces the healthy incentives for the public schools to improve. 19 different empirical studies have examined how school choice affects outcomes in public schools, and of those, 18 of the 19 show that school choice improved the outcomes in public schools. And we can get you the citations for all that if you would like.
Yes, if you excuse me, if you would, room 104, Capitol Building, 99801.
Okay, we'll do that. That's all I had to say. Again, I really strongly urge you to support both of these and get them passed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I don't want Eagle River to feel left out. Neil Nichols, are you there in Eagle River? Please give you identify yourself and be as concise as possible.
Testify, Neil Nichols, 15-year resident of Eagle River, 2 children in the Anchorage School District. For so many years of trying to fix public education by spending more and more tax dollars while watching student outcomes continually sag, we have now arrived at a decision point. Anchorage residents have been especially generous to the district and its administration, allowing the cost of operating the ASD to increase to $811 million this year, from around $400 million just 10 years ago, while district-wide enrollment has dropped 4%. Yet graduation rates and test scores have not improved. Our children deserve results for the escalating burden our community has suffered, but public education has not delivered. So do we keep doing what we've been doing? Can we really suppose that this education system can deliver with perhaps another doubling of costs? Or is it time for new ideas? A fresh approach. House Bill 145 will bring new resources to bear, fresh ideas, and create new opportunities for our children. Results for children in other states with school choice programs are profound. It's time for Alaska. It's our turn. I do strongly support House Bill 145 and urge this legislature to pass it.
Thank you, Neil. Rob Timmons, are you also in Eagle River? If so, identify yourself and be as concise as possible.
Yes, I am, and I'm glad to be able here to testify for House Bill 145. It's absolutely crucial for the success of our children. The only proven path to that success is true competition. Competition where the best rise to the top actually makes us all better through bringing society along with it. Parental choice, as well as student choice, will be the single best and effective way to solve the current catastrophe in state test scores, graduation rates, and competency metrics. It will have the single most positive effect on vaulting our state to new heights in productivity and capability. This is a no-cost way, or little-cost way, for the state, our state, to incentivize students to do his or her best, while at the same time staying the course to graduation and beyond. Can we afford to keep the status quo? I think not. We have already lived with this disaster much too long and lost too many of our precious resources, namely our children, who have lost interest in learning. Episode 125, the Parental Choice Fellowship Program, should be supported by all. I urge you to talk to all your friends and neighbors and everybody that you're working with there on the Education Committee and Finance Committee and get it out of committee, so that we can enact this for our children. On a personal note, my wife homeschools both of our kids. She's given up her career. They've been in the AFD school system in the past and done well. But I can tell you that I am out of pocket quite a bit of money with the homeschool system because it costs a lot of money to do right by my kids, and by I'm sure that all homeschool kids are in the same boat. So we need to have money follow the children in good programs, whether it's private or public schools or private or homeschooling. And please give 145 your best effort. Also, Bill Gucci, who is a doctor, a PhD at UCLA, has done research for the last 20 years, written a book called Total Student Load that shows that this program that we're talking about, House Bill 145, works in many other communities around the country, and the latest of which, Milwaukee, has shown dramatic increases in test scores and graduation rates. So the research is there. Again, I'd like to recommend you take a look at TSL, Total Student Load, by Bill Gucci. Answers a lot of questions and will give you that good feeling that you're on the right path. Thank you.
Thank you. And any information you want to fax to 465-2197 would be very helpful for us. We promise we'll consider that. Christina Johannes, are you in Anchorage? If so, identify yourself and be as concise as possible.
Thank you. My name is Christina Johannes. I've lived in Anchorage for about 35 years. My youngest daughter is about to graduate from college, so this won't affect me personally as a parent, but I strongly urge you to support it, and especially the House Joint Resolution. I'm not sure how many of you have studied where the content of that particular part of the Constitution that prohibits money for private parochial schools comes from, but it's actually an anti-Catholic animus that was existing at the time, at a certain time in our country, and unfortunately it made it into our Constitution, and it's a blight on our Constitution, and as a Catholic, whenever I read that, I feel personally insulted, actually, to be honest. So I urge you to address that. House Bill 145, I think it's a great bill. I just recently read the committee substitute, and I think it's just a much better even than the first one. Basically, you need to trust parents. Michelle Nyland, in all due respect, gave you some incorrect information. I actually homeschooled my children and had to leave a lot of money on the table because the state prohibits me from using state money for any material that would contain a substantially religious base to it. And you can't really educate a child without giving them a moral component. You just can't. And so the state right now is prohibiting parents like me from using the full, the school that I used actually made out pretty well because I couldn't they got the money, but I couldn't use it because in conscience I couldn't apply for it because I was using a religious-based curriculum. There was also, when my daughter went to public school, she was given in an AP program some very morally offensive books that I had to actually, you know, embarrass her a little bit and take her out of the course. I don't think I would have had to do that had I had her in a private school. There's actually an injustice here, an economic injustice, a distributive injustice. Parents have the right, a natural right, to choose an education for their children, and when the state takes all the money for a public system and leaves none over and above that for parents to actually have true choice, that's an economic injustice, and that needs to be addressed. So for all those reasons, I ask you to support it, and I thank you for that, the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Christina. Shirlene Reynolds, is it Reynolds or Reynolds? Anchorage, are you there, Shirlene?
I am. It's Reynolds, Shirlene Reynolds. And I do support both House Bill 145 and the House Joint Resolution 16. As a parent of four children, I have been involved with the Anchorage School District for over 30 years. I still have one child, school age, a senior, in a local Catholic school. And I have chosen the Catholic school because of the higher education offered and the healthy atmosphere, which is a great part of our son's well-rounded education. My grown children attended the English school district, and I was very involved in the school and classrooms. I had many complaints and brought them to the attention of the teachers, principals, and even the school board at one point with a serious issue. I decided with my other children to homeschool because I was so disgruntled with the Anchorage School District. In high school now, my son is the youngest one at home, is sent to the Catholic school, Holy Rosary Academy. And all of these issues that people have talked about, I was going to reiterate, but I think that the most important thing is to remember that parents do have the right to choose the best education for their children. So I do support this House bill and hope that you would consider that. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirlene. Tom Fink, I know you're there, but you already testified. Andy Clare, are you there?
You already got me.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Andy. Cynthia Gearman, are you in Anchorage?
I am, actually.
Cynthia, I give you testimony, please. And I think we got permission here to run a little bit past 6 o'clock, but be concise as possible.
I will. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I ask that you all support House Bill 145 for the Parental Choice Scholarship. I'm only recently married again, but I was a single mom for 8 years, and my daughter was in public education, and I was very involved in the schools, and unfortunately I found that in a classroom, the kindergarten classroom of 25, you don't get the personal attention. First grade was even worse at 30 students. Second grade at 33 students in a class was overwhelming. Children don't all learn at the same rate. There are some who need more individual attention. I wanted a moral component to my daughter's education. I wanted more for her. We had one teacher. I was in every other Friday helping with the classroom, and I was dismayed at the lack of authority the teachers had with the classroom. And unfortunately, working within the system they had was not doing my daughter any good. There were several students that I was concerned about. One little girl, unfortunately, spent most of her days in the bathroom because she was not able to work at the same level, and that was what the teacher suggested. That if she didn't feel she could do it, just to put her head down. That was not what I wanted for my daughter. I didn't appreciate the interruptions. I wanted actual teaching of my child. I do have her in a public school, in a private school now, and for me that was a hardship. That wasn't something that I could just pull out of my bank account, but it was a choice I made because I needed to make sure that I gave her the best education opportunity that I possibly could, whether it meant giving up vacations or doing other things that I wanted to do. And I think that giving the parents a choice, we do know our children. We do know what's best for them. We are the first educators of them. And I think that we should be able to have what we need, and that includes funding, the following of the state and local monies to help our children become the best that they can be for the future. These are the ones who will be taking care of us, who will be running our country. If we don't give them the best that we can now, we won't have anything left for the future. There won't be anything. I vehemently urge you to please support House Bill 145 for this. Thank you very much.
Good testimony. Thank you. Karen Owens, are you off net? Your mom, please identify yourself and give your testimony as concise as possible.
Hello, my name is Karen Owens, and I am a stay-at-home mom, mother of four, three preschoolers, and a school-aged child. I also taught for the Anchorage School District for 10 years. I have had my son in a private school because I intimately know the school district. I very much like many of my colleagues as I taught, but I felt our hands were tied so often because of we were trying to be a one-size-fit-all for all kinds of parents and all kinds of families. And I just think if we have more choices, we can empower the kids and empower the parents. And I think it's very obvious by the popularity of our charter schools and how they have to turn people away by a lottery system. I think that's indicative of how popular a school choice would be for parents. I think it's just the best educational fit when parents can actually choose. They know their kids, know their strengths and weaknesses. And what we have now just isn't working. So I think we need a change. I think this would work. And to be honest, if we give it a try for 10 years, if it doesn't work, we can go and try to revamp it. But what we have now isn't working, and my three preschool children may be homeschooled, may be private schooled, but I couldn't in good conscience put them in a public school. And again, I very much like many of my colleagues, but the system is broken. And so I also strongly encourage you to support House Bill 145 and the Joint Resolution Number 16. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
Oh, thank you for taking the time. Connie Wingren, are you in Ketchikan? You there, Connie?
Hello?
Yes, Connie, identify yourself. Identify yourself for the record.
Connie Wingren. All right, Connie Wingren. And I am the principal at the Holy Name Catholic School here in Ketchikan, Alaska. And I guess what I wanted to say is I've been listening now for a good half hour, and I've heard wonderful testaments. But I think the one thing I want to say is that we've all been given a gift. Every parent has been given a gift, and that's the gift of our children. And we all want what is best. I taught at Holy Name from 80 to 87, and then I've also put 20-some years into our public school system, and now I'm back at Holy Name. And I've asked parents, you know, how come aren't your children here? Well, we just can't afford it, but that's what we really want. And I think this bill is going to help parents make that decision and help them to be able to put their children, their gift, where they really want it to be, to give them a well-based education all around. Our tests, you talked about tests earlier, our tests are all, we do both the Iowa Basics and we also the other kids do their testing, and they do an excellent job. They're all in the 90 to 100%. Our children that graduate from our sixth grade classroom go on to become excellent citizens here in Ketchikan. Our school's been in existence for 60 years. My husband's a graduate of it. Our children are graduates and now grandchildren. So I just would like to see this bill help all parents give a gift to their children and enjoy the gift of their children. And that's it.
Thank you. David Thank Boyle, are you in Anchorage?
Yes, I am, Chairman Dick.
Identify yourself and give your testimony concise as possible.
Yes, sir. Chairman Dick, fellow committee members, my name is David Boyle. And I'd like to testify today on H.J.R. 16, the constitutional amendment to the Alaska Constitution. As a background, Alaska has what is called the Blaine Amendment in its constitution, which precludes state funds going to private and secular schools. This Blaine Amendment has a very shady history, named after U.S. Congressman James Blaine. These amendments were passed as a direct result of the anti-immigrant, anti-Catholic bigotry that was dominant in the 19th and early 20th centuries. Many states were required to include the Blaine Amendments in their constitutions before they were allowed to join the Union. This was called the Inclusion Act of 1899. The U.S. Supreme Court, however, laid the constitutionality of the Blaine Amendment to rest in its Zelman v. Simmons-Harris 2002 decision. This decision stated the Federal Establishment Clause of Religion is not violated by the participation of religious schools in school choice programs. Students in Cleveland were given state vouchers to attend the school of their choice, sectarian or non-sectarian. Religious and non-religious schools could all participate in this voucher program. By the way, over 60% of these students who participated were at or below the poverty level. And that's what we're looking at. The court held that this government aid reaches the religious institutions only of deliberate choices of numerous individual recipients. Chief Justice Rehnquist stated the court had rejected similar challenges three times before. In August of 2002, the State of Washington Blaine Amendment was struck down by, get this, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals by a vote of 2-1. This decision was based on, quote, a state law may not offer a benefit to all, but exclude some on the basis of religion, end quote. And also, under the Individual with Disabilities Act, the federal government gives funds to provide special education to children with disabilities, as you all know. It also requires districts spend some of these funds for children whose parents choose private, including religious schools. The question we need to ask now is the Alaska Constitution unconstitutional? Remember, the overriding consideration is what is best for the kids. And I want to thank you very much for the opportunity.
David, that was excellent testimony. If you'd send anything you have in writing, just send it to me, room 104, Juneau 99801. I'd be very interested. Tim Gearman, are you in Big Lake?
Yes, I'm from Big Lake. I'm here testifying in Anchorage today in support of House Bill 145 and Joint Resolution 16, and I'm getting a real education just listening to this myself. Mr. Chairman, when I decided to have children, I planned on sending them to the government school, as I am a product of the Anchorage School District. I lived in Big Lake at the time. I visited Big Lake Elementary. I visited Houston High School as the kids got older. And what I saw with the lack of discipline, the peer pressure, and the questionable teaching methods, I couldn't send my children there. I decided I would send my children to the garbage dump before I sent them to a government school because at least they'd learn a trade. I chose homeschooling and then private education. My property taxes, my state money should follow the child to the school of the parent's choice. So I respectfully ask for your support of House Bill 145 and Joint Resolution 16.
We respectfully receive your testimony. Carl Rose, you want to, I promised I wouldn't leave you out this time, Carl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. I've listened to a lot of testimony, and I believe that parents do have a right to choose. I sincerely believe that. The question is, does the state have a responsibility to pay? What is the state's responsibility? Under the Constitution, we provide a free public education for all school-age children. All school-age children. That's a tremendous challenge. We take them all. But I won't have to tell you, I've been listening intently, and apparently, our schools are failing. It's not so. We have documents here from the Department of Education. We have information to share that there are many good things going on in schools. But I'm sitting here listening that our schools have failed us. There is almost an anti-government sentiment being attached to schools. I think it's unfair. There was a comment that was made by Representative Keller at the last testimony when he said it was intuitively obvious that private schools were outperforming public schools. I disagree adamantly with that. We have a number of kids who are very successful. We have a number of kids who are doing fine, and we have a number of kids who struggle mightily. And the state has a responsibility to educate all of them. I'll just share with you that when I look at the proposition that I'm going to share with you right now, parents do have a right to choose. What's the state's responsibility under the Constitution? What we are proposing here is to operate a dual system of education. You think about this. If we, in fact, attach a per pupil amount of money, if, in fact, we do take a look at operating costs as an example, if we do take an example of construction or prorated facility costs, as is in the bill, if we do take the example of transportation when reasonable, these are additional costs that the fiscal note is going to be alarmingly high. I appreciate the comments that are being shared, and people are very passionate about their kids. And I have every appreciation for that. The question has to be, what is in the interest of the state? Can the state afford to operate a dual system of education? You have choice. You can choose to send your kids where you want to go. Some people who may be below the poverty line may not have that choice. That's an issue that we may have to deal with. But to allow the money to follow children to another system of education will inflate the cost of operating, and the question is that the state's interest? Is it the state's responsibility? Now, I happen to be a recipient of a public education. My sons have graduated from a public education, public university. They're viable in the economy. Almost everybody I know that I have tried to help have benefited greatly. I would guarantee you that in this building right now, the majority of people in this building right now went to public schools. Across the nation, 90% of our kids go to public schools. That's a tremendous responsibility. And I don't want to take any more time because I know there are other people who want to testify, but I want to tell you, our schools are not failing. Our schools are doing a pretty good job, and we struggle mightily with some of the challenges we have. And oh, by the way, I just mentioned, the day after a child turns 16, they can quit school. By law, they can quit school, so they become dropouts. I mean, if you wanted to count the kind of information against the public school system, that's fine. But I think people have choice. They are exercising choice. The question is, does the state have to pay for that choice? I'll end my testimony there. I know there's a lot of people here to testify, and so I yield the rest of my time.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl. We're brief at ease. Testimony.
Very quick. I have two children. I have a daughter who is now 20 at UAA, and she attended Grace Christian School. I have a son, Austin Zirkel, who was in the Anchorage School District from kindergarten to second grade. We moved and were out of state for a few years, and we were back in August of 2009. He was involved in the school district. He was involved in the special education area, and he was sorely misdiagnosed by many people. He had OTs and speech therapists and IEPs and all that, and it turns out when we moved out of state at age 9, he was diagnosed with high-functioning autism. Autism is a disorder of the neuro system. It's a neurological
disorder. And it's also a social skills need for kids with high-functioning autism. Any of my experience with trying to get services, and that's including the other state that I was in, is that regardless of if they say they have services for these kids, they are still in a very crowded situation, and they cannot function and flourish in a situation where they're going to be susceptible to bullying and unable to participate in other activities. Now, my daughter, we have two different kids. She would have been probably just fine in the public school system. I was a public school teacher here in ASD from 94 until 2005 when we moved. And, you know, I chose to send my daughter to a private school because I was there, I know what happens, and sure, there are kids that do well in the public school. That is because they fit into that little box. But you have kids like my son and various other children who need something different than the public school model. And so, therefore, you know, you have Polaris K-12. You have Chugach optional. You have ABC school. Well, I tried to get my son into the ABC school, and they said, well, we don't take kids because of the IEP. We don't even have a teacher that is certified as a special ed teacher. And their curriculum was entirely too difficult for my son's particular needs. So, therefore, I finally found a wonderful school called Gateway. And as at age 13 in seventh grade, my son has progressed more this last year than he ever has in the whole time he has been in school. And unfortunately, Gateway is having difficulties because it is a private school and it does have a tuition, and it's a fairly high tuition. So I am just saying that, yes, there are some very good public schools, and kids can do well in the public school, but there are kids that have other needs, and they can go to the optional schools and the charter schools, but there is not a charter school or an optional program that will take some kids with some special needs. And so why do we have to just leave our kids to fall through the cracks, to not get what they need? They just push them through. They let them graduate. They will not retain kids unless, you know, a parent specifically requests it. I was there. I know. I was a teacher. I've been through this district. And people, especially parents just need a choice. They just need to be able to send their kids to whatever school they need to be at. And my son, if I can't keep him at this school, I don't know what I'll do other than homeschool. Because I homeschooled 2 years before I got him at Gateway. So I know other people need to talk. I appreciate you listening. I'm a little passionate about it. But I think that this is a wonderful bill. I think parents need a choice. I do believe that there are good things about the public school system, but I also think that it fails a lot of students and a lot of kids, and they need other choices. And those choices are not out there unless it's in a private school, such as Gateway.
All right. Thank you, Julie. We are going to move very quickly. We have two other individuals. One person, actually, they're both in Anchorage. I have Kathy Bocott. If you would, please make it concise, and please give your testimony. State your name for the record.
My name is Catherine Bolak, and my testimony will be very brief. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Please continue.
Thank you. I'm a very, very strong advocate for pro-choice in education. I have done, over the years, enormous amounts of reading about various educational styles. And personal choice, and this was based on an experience that we had very early on in the public education system, was to enroll my daughter in a private school. As a single parent, it's been very, very hard for me to do this, and 100% worthwhile. So I cannot say enough about parents having a choice. My school does not fit every child. The public educational system does not fit every child. The more choices, the more it raises the standard of quality of education for everyone, so that no child is left behind, in the truest sense of the word. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And then the very last testifier that we're going to have for the evening is going to be Betty Smith. If you would, please state your name for the record as well as any affiliation you may have.
Hello, my name is Betty Smith, and I live here in Anchorage. I'm a grandmother. All my children went to the public schools and did well, but I'm here for my grandchildren who are not even in school yet but will be. And I know that my children will have a difficult time paying for private schools if they choose that. And so more than anything, I want them to have a choice. And I do think that it is not an all or nothing. I think that it will make the public schools better if they have to compete with private schools. And I don't want to see a lot of government regulation attached to the money, but I think it would just be a wonderful thing if parents had a choice to send their children anywhere they wanted to, no matter what their income. And that's all.
All right. Thank you, Betty. Okay, there are a couple people here, but I believe that they should be able to access us at a different point in time. So with that, I will accept a motion to move it, table it. Anything here? We will adjourn. We will adjourn until Wednesday at 8 o'clock in room 106. I believe we will be hearing SB 1 as well as HB 143. We are adjourned.